So really, it's the most of the areas, except when there's not the infrastructure costs, the numbers do not work financially. Staff would just note these are just the estimates and assumptions that were provided by Grafe. It's not based on an actual development proposal. So if a developer comes in, the project may be more valuable than the Grafe estimated. There may be less project costs needed. Those are typically things negotiated too based on a specific development. So the numbers could work or not work based on a specific proposal. So at this point, staff is really just recommending that the city look to continue to work with property owners, any developers that may be interested in the area to gain that interest. And then once there is a more specific proposal, that relook at the numbers at that point.
Now, this report's based on the previous activities, not the revised effort that we'll talk about later. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, I wrote all of them.
I don't understand the statement that you just made, first of all.
You'll recall that the council asked for Grafe to come back with a quotation on what it would take to give different options for each of these areas. And this document is based on the work we did in the past, not anything that obviously they haven't done it yet, may do in the future.
So it's not necessarily an updated document, because I believe we asked them to actually work with developers in the area, and I'm getting a sense that they have not really.
We didn't authorize a budget. We asked for a quote to work with developers in the area, because they're not going to do it for free.
Right, okay.
So, and that's where that is. So this is just a report on previous activity, so take it for what it's worth.
And the special meeting that we're having in October is regarding this area.
Correct.
October 27th regarding this
Correct.
Area. So in the meantime, this is, I don't want to say outdated because it's not that old, but there's going to be something before us that we'll be dealing with that, frankly, we may not need to deal with Grafe depending on, I mean, we may have to get a quote because we actually have some maybe real numbers to be able to work with without having Grafe to have to go out and do extra work for us. I mean, they could, but we're at least going to have an actual developer in hand or a project in hand, correct? Am I summing that up?
That's absolutely correct. We dodged it well.
Yes.
Because we're not at liberty to discuss the proposal coming just yet. But the difference between what we will probably hear about on the 27th and what Grafe is going to do is, in my view, is Grafe will look at the other areas for other development.
The other areas in Area 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alderman Schmidt.
The list here with the full ones that incorporate the full infrastructure cost, are these proposals with or without changing the ramps off of Loomis Road?
The numbers that we used were with the alternate B, which was the removal of the ramps.
Which is why the infrastructure cost is so high then, right?
The infrastructure costs were a little higher for that alternate, yes. But based on, again, just being hypothetical numbers, if you wanted to go in and take some things out and or make the value of improvements greater, you could look at doing that and the numbers may look better. But, you know, again, until that you have an actual development, you know, that's what's going to really dictate whether it's financially feasible or not.
There's no action necessary.
Correct. Any other questions? We're not ready for 8 yet. Who's doing item G10, pay-as-you-go tax agreement finance?
Before you leave that.
Back to item G9. Yes,
I know you said you're not at liberty to talk about, but has there been some updated discussions? I mean, that's just a yes or a no. You don't have to go into details, but you've had some interest.
Okay. Well, the answer is yeah, obviously. I don't mean to be condescending, and I didn't mean it. It sounded that way. I didn't mean it that way. Yes.
I know. I'm just thinking about this in the, you know, the number 8, which we're rating on, and I.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the 27th, but we'll just leave it at that.
27th? So I should put that on my calendar?
Well, it's good a time to say there is an anticipated special meeting on the 27th for concept review plus potentially a closed session item.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe one more.
And maybe an additional item on top of that. So we are now in special meeting heaven.
Okay.
I jump right back into this.
Maybe it's because of you.
Oh, yeah. No.
Soap opera.
Okay, so we did G9. We'll move on to G10. Pay-as-you-go tax incremental finance district report. This is Mr. Fuchs.
Also, at the September 1st meeting, the council requested additional information for pay-as-you-go TIF districts. So we did provide a summary. The general concept, I think, is pretty straightforward. Basically, with a pay-as-you-go, you're having the, instead of the municipality fronting the costs, paying for the improvement costs, the developer would pay for those costs and then get reimbursed by the municipality from the increment that gets gets created from that development. So it essentially will shift the risk, a lot of the financial risk, from the municipality to the developer. Another benefit is that the municipality, the debt capacity is not impacted. We did note a disadvantage may be that project costs are higher. The developer may not be able to borrow the same rates the city would be able to. And then I guess I would just note that these districts, this type would typically involve a specific development proposal. It would have to be a developer business that was able to finance the project costs up front. But the biggest part is really that it's the developer that's paying those project costs, not the municipality. The developer gets reimbursed for those that have been created.
Alderman Taylor.
Just a quick question, and I want the Cliff Notes version. Why is this on? Well, why is this agenda item here? I mean, was there? Well, I know there's a council action, but I'm saying, what was the reason? Was there some discussion at some point that, you know, some developer looking at this? Well, I mean, why is this here? It
came up under the council discussion of Airbnb at a previous council meeting, that the concept of basically going to districts.
And then they
and
asked
that
you request to investigate it. Okay, just trying to get the...
No, that's
Alderman
not...
Mayor.
That's not really how it happened. It was brought out in the discussion that the pay-as-you-go was going to be happening or was being planned by the new plans for TIF 4, and we didn't know anything about what pay-as-you-go is. So... Alderwoman Wilhelm, I believe, is the one who requested to find out more about what this was all about and share with the council.
Okay,
so it wasn't our idea to do a pay-as-you-go. It was a discussion that came up that all of a sudden we were talking about pay-as-you-go and we had no idea what that was.
So everybody recalls it but me, but that's okay because it's good information to have. Then some more information from the council. We had a meeting, when was that meeting, Paul? Monday, with state representative. There's a proposed bill on TIF law outside of the TIF working group that would require all new TIFs by cities, towns, and villages to require that one of three currently tests are used. One of the tests is that TIF district is 51% financed by a developer, in essence, a pay-as-you-go. There are issues with that, and which is why I'm doing this. It works great for a single developer project, and it always ought to be looked at. On a multiple developer project, it's unwieldy and can't be managed, plain and simple. So I don't know that we should discuss this, but it's not an issue for me. It's just another tool in the toolbox. So let's do all of them there and then all of the table.
Well, can you just explain, to bring him up to speed on what the discussion was with that pay-as-you-go? Who was going to be asked to do a pay-as-you-go on this?
For Area D?
Yes.
My recollection, and apparently may not be correct, but it was in talking about Area D, the phases, potentially the future phases or the to-be-determined phases,
yeah.
Some of the larger parcels or the more attractive parcels off of 27th Street with Area D. I think it was mentioned that those would potentially be pay-as-you-go. And stemming from that, there was the direction for additional information on Eagles.
So the development would the money that is being requested to spend now in TIF 4 would be spent on the southwestern parcels, and the rest, basically the rest of the TIF would be a pay-as-you-go.
The discussion was that it was possible for the future phases to do that. Now, I would, I guess, add that if, depending on the timing, if a future phase occurs and, you know, the TIF is closed out, you know, maybe you'd look at other options as far as a new TIF, and it wouldn't have to be a pay-as-you-go option or, you know, but it would depend. But the conversation was that potentially those properties, there are properties that could be a pay-as-you-go option.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, I now remember. Alderman Tate.
H is getting to you already? Is that?
I thought it was Area A.
So
big one coming in a month and a half.
Mine's in January. So
not as old as mine.
No, not as old as yours. So basically, on Area D, that's not really an option. It's pay as you go, because there's more than one party involved. But if there's one big company came, let's say a Northwestern Mutual, and we did a whole TIF in one area, that could be where it could maybe work to our advantage. But really, we're just here having this conversation because we have nothing in front of us either way.
That was the way it was brought to us.
Knowing that project as I do, my suggestion would be a city-financed TIF, as we're proposing, for the majority of the infrastructure that will serve the entire area, and then the other areas, specifically the Fox Glen property, the Wendt property, would be pay-as-you-go, and part of the senior moment.
Mar?
No, Mar is self-funded. There's no infrastructure required, except for a little bit of a street. It's a tool in the toolbox.
Okay.
That's all it is.
All right. No item necessary? No motion necessary?
Nope. We did G11. We did G12. You okay?
Ready?
Oh, let's go back to G8, Mr. Roberta. What would I do about
it? Relative to the timeline by which we have to address the Buxton program, Nick has the email that extended it beyond the September 15th meeting, so that you could meet then. And just before the 15-minute mark on the third part audio tape, because we had four parts on that for the September 15th, Alderman Dan Mayer asked that question if, in fact, they had to make a decision that night because the packet said it was extended to September 20th. And starting at the 15 minutes and 1 second of the tape, the representative for Buxton noted, there was a, quote, there was a communication that I sent out extending that all the way out to, obviously, the anniversary date because, and then he went on to explain some things about our budget process and that we're working through it. And then he continued, quote, we're going all the way out to November 10th, which then he noted was the initial contract date. So I've already waived the 60-day requirement. So he makes reference to having provided us that in writing, presumably an email beforehand. We don't have that, but we do have them on clear audio tape extending that decision date to November 10th and basically waiving the 60-day advance notice.
Okay, then, Madam Clerk, can you read us the motion on the floor?
Sure. Alderwoman Wilhelm moved to renew the agreement with Buxton for retail recruitment and retention services and to authorize payment for the second year of services in the amount of $50,000 with the contract to be renewed by the city attorney.
Taylor.
Is there any way possible we could do on this item, considering we have something in a special meeting on the 27th? I'm not necessarily sold on we have to wait till our economic development director is here to show him here's what we got. I mean, I think Alderman Mayer said it's his gig or it's his thing. Well, actually, it's still ours. We're the ones that are elected. I would have a compromise of maybe putting this item and moving it to the same night, the 27th, so after we've had conversation, we had a concept review, we had a closed session, and we know this council has more information of what we're talking about, then at that time, we could then make a decision that night to do nothing, we just don't have to do it tonight. I mean, I don't think we have to do it tonight, but I don't want to necessarily say, let's just wait until we get this new guy here. So I guess withdraw my motion, with that motion being the one that I would make is just moving it to that agenda. We're already going to be here. We already know the subject matter. We have debated it, and we can decide then what we want to do. We don't have to do it tonight.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, before you do that, Mr. Liberta. Oh, it's done. So the motion is now no longer on the table.
So then would it be proper to make that motion then to
the motion
move?
Is the table of the October 27th.
Yes.
I would second.
That's provided we have a meeting on October 27th, which now it sounds like we're going to have one, whether we want one or not.
Right.
So I'm okay with that. It's moved to second. Mr. Roberto.
If at that meeting you decide you don't have enough information and you still want to see what the economic development director thinks, my concern would be that an individual coming to town on November 4th be prepared to have not only sort of settled in, but fully investigated this tool and provided a report to you by November 10th. I would just ask that possibly the Common Council give staff the authority to talk with Buxton to see if any of the other options that I suggested in my memo to give that person a little bit of time is something reasonable that they can provide us. Otherwise, we will be letting him walk in the door and throwing him an unanswerable or an undeliverable task himself within less than his first week of being on staff.
Well, in addition to that, I'll call him, Aaron, and talk to him about it and get him a login and a password. So at least if he feels like doing it when he's not on the payroll, he can do it. Alderman Taylor.
Well, what I'm trying to do is I don't want to box anyone in, and there was obviously a motion on the floor that the mayor was not too fond of, and I don't want to be accused of not working with the mayor, and so I came up with, I think, is a compromise, and that's, so if you have to have those conversations and the mayor wants to have that conversation, no one here, I think, is objecting to that. I'm just saying we don't have to do this tonight, and this is, I think, something in the middle where we can make that decision that evening, as long as we're already going to be here. We're going to be here like every Tuesday this month. So why not?
We've been here every Tuesday since you left.
Yeah. And you're hoping that things will get better when I come on, right? All right. So that's my motion.
I just didn't want, if we had any such discussions, for it to be viewed as inconsistent with the direction of the Common Council.
I wouldn't see it that way.
So, okay. Thank you.
Alderman Mullen.
Well, I'm just wondering, is it the council's decision or is it 100% the economic development director's decision? And as Alderman Taylor said, it is the council's decision. And we keep in mind, we have 5 months into this. We've got to start. So do we weigh it all on one economic development director to say, oh, you know, I don't really care what you've done in the past. I'm not interested. I mean, it does. That doesn't really make any sense to me to say we have to have this complete input from, you know, this economic development director. Either we're interested in this and pursuing this, or we're not. Keep in mind, I keep hearing this, $50,000. How many years have we gone without an economic development director? And $50,000 is a lot less for the money we put out. So I.
Alderman Taylor, then the city attorney.
Well, just for clarification, my main it is up to us. It's not the economic development director, so that's very clear. Now, I think he should be brought up to speed on it and get his input on it, but essentially it's our decision. And I'm more concerned about the information we're going to receive on the 27th to then get us to make that decision on what we're going to do. But at the end of the day, it is our decision, and I think we can get there, but I think the information that we're going to get on the 27th is more important than what the position is of the economic development director, because that person coming in is from Rhode Island, and he may have a great resume, but he knows nothing about this area, and it's going to take months for him to get up to speed, unless you're saying he was born and raised here.
Yeah, he's a Racine resident and worked in economic development in Racine County before moving out there to be an executive director.
Okay, so you're familiar with southeastern Wisconsin?
Very much. He stayed with family when he came back.
Okay, well, that's
262 cell phone.
All right, well, that's good. But see, this is all information that we're just learning right now.
Yeah,
so,
I understand.
Yeah, so.
Okay, motion on the floor to table the 27th. Any further discussion? And I'm really quickly going to say, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move to G13, a resolution to award paving Franklin Pike Hike Trail to South Branch 2015 to Painted Dolan. Alderman Mayor. Woman Mayor, who wants it?
Alderwoman Mayor.
Alderwoman Mayor. Or do you want the city engineer to talk?
No.
Right there. I'll do a motion to adopt a resolution awarding the contract to the low bidder, Payne and Dolan, for paving the Franklin Bike and Hike Trail Branch South 2015 project in the amount of $58,687.50.
Is there a second? Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G14, a resolution to design, permit, and solicit bids for a restroom at Market Square Park. Alderman Mayor.
Actually, we've had some discussions about this. I think we still have some questions on this, some things I'd like to talk to Glenn about. Alderwoman Mayor had some suggestions on this as well.
Don't say October 27th.
No. No, no more.
I would like to table it, not indefinitely, though, but for a reasonable time.
Sure.
And then we can talk some more.
November 3rd, 17th.
What's 17th?
Motion to table November 17th. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Just a quick question on that. Is this item is a capital project, correct? So it's in the capital approval budget. So we haven't even adopted that we're doing this. This is just
correct.
Start spending money. So this is a smart move because it's maybe putting the cart ahead of the horse. Thank you.
Item G15, a release of escrow for Riverwood Village. Alderman Wilmot.
Motion to release the escrow deposit for Riverwood Village subdivision as recommended by the engineering department.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G16, release of escrow for Village of Franklin. Alderman Taylor.
I make a motion to refer this to the next regularly scheduled common council meeting, not a special council meeting, just because I have not had a chance to talk to the Homeowners
Second.
Association. I want to just notify them what we're intending on doing.
That would be November 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 What?
October 21st. October 20th.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. Sure, that's fine. Yeah, that gives me plenty.
October 20th, as you all voted aye, I was wrong. Motion carries. Item G17, ordinance to amend ordinance 2014-2152, annual budgets for capital improvement fund for the fiscal year 2015. This lets us do the roof repairs on fire station number one, which we've been planning on for about 50 million years. Is there a motion adopting the ordinance?
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Alderman Laverta.
I will only note that relative to the budget process that we're working on, this is part of the fund balance that was there, dropped to the bottom line at the end of 2014. And so it would use up some of the fund balance that's reported in the budget that you're currently working on, which had, at the end of 2016, would show 100,000 fund balance. This would then use up the majority of that. But it was a planned project that fell to the bottom line at the end of 2014.
This is a budget amendment. It does require a roll call and
five votes.
Four votes. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion passes. Vote of six ayes, no noes, no abstentions, no absent. Move to G18, and let's award a contract for fire station roof replacement. $78,500.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G19, the August financial report. Mr. Laverta, since you're sitting here, or Mr. Ratzenberger. Highlights, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, council members. This August financial report was reviewed at the recent Finance Committee meeting, although the Finance Committee failed to take any action on it. Highlights of this particular report are such that exempt computer aids seem to be the subject matter of recent conversations. This memo was drafted before those discussions began, but we noted that the 2015 exempt computer aids exceeded our budget by nearly $244,000. That was related to an unanticipated increase in the value of exempt computers in the city. Building permits continue to run less than favorable to our plan. Development has slowed down some in the city, primarily due to the lack of a major building permit being pulled. Also, the delay in the opening of the new hotel in the city, hotel tax receipts are running behind plan. On the expenditure side, we have been using non-personnel costs for cleaning at City Hall that was originally budgeted in the personnel area. Likely a budget amendment will be coming later this fall to move the funds from non-personnel, from personnel to non-personnel areas. Police Department non-personnel costs are running favorable, primarily due to reduced fuel costs. The reduction in oil prices across the world, gasoline prices and diesel prices have dropped, and while the usage of fuel is similar to prior years, the cost of that fuel is less, and so the general fund is experiencing some favorable savings in that regard. We have spent some money on professional services related to potential development that has been charged to the Economic Development Department. So you're seeing overages in that particular area, but we have a budget amendment that deals with that, provides for the appropriation. We're showing a $1.2 million surplus, favorable surplus to surplus of $6 million, which is $1.2 million favorable to budget at this point in time. That's comparable to the prior year for the most part. The only difference between this year and that last year and the size of that surplus is the fact in 2015 we transferred $500,000 from the general fund to two different capital funds, and that was a unique event this year as compared to last year in an effort to use up some of the fund balance that had been generated in prior years. Other highlights that might be out there, not very much of the contingency in the capital outlay fund has been used. A year ago, the Common Council increased the contingency in the capital outlay fund from $50,000 to $130,000. Very little of that has been used so far this year. Street Improvement Fund has experienced some favorable contracts, so we won't be using all of the funds that was originally planned there. In the Development Fund, reduced development activity, as we mentioned earlier, is resulting in less impact fees being collected. So the revenues to that fund are down from where we thought. We have, to this point in time, kept ahead of the game relative to the use of park impact fees, but as noted in a prior report to Common Council, later this fall, we will run into some issues with having expenditures insufficient to cover all of the holding periods for impact fees unless the Common Council takes action on some other items that are pending before you. Self-insurance fund, on the actives side, we are experiencing a small surplus, which was anticipated. On the retiree side, we have been experiencing some rather unfavorable experience in that fund with fairly high claims costs through the end of August. Claims costs have almost matched the entire plan for the year as well as last year. Further compounding problems in that particular fund is equity performance in August was first down month in nearly 4 years, so that fund is experiencing losses similar to what the general equity funds have been experiencing. So I'd be willing to entertain any questions on the financial report if there are any on the part of the council.
Alderwoman.
Just quickly, can you go into a little bit more detail on the development fund and where you're at with the impact fees?
The development fund is one of the later reports, financial reports, in that particular set of statements. Through the end of August, impact fees collected were $322,000.
Page 116. Sorry,
160. Page 160, the mayor is telling you in the packet. I don't have that information available to me immediately.
It's page 916, 2015.
Thank you very much,
Mr.
Mayor.
Sorry, does it have a PR?
No PR. if revenues into this fund were occurring on a pace similar to the average of the last 5 years, we would have expected to have received $494,000 in revenues. So you can see it's running behind that. And last year, through the end of August, we had received $484,000. Investment income is approximately equal to what we had been expecting. On the expenditure side, the police and library funds have not had sufficient receipts to fund all of the loan payments that were required, so those are coming out of the debt service fund. The fire department, or the fire impact fees, are meeting schedules, and they are meeting the required distributions. And the park impact fees, we have transferred $366,000 to date. We had a budget of $1.6 million. We are keeping ahead of the rebate schedule through the end of August, and we anticipate we will have been ahead of the schedule in September. October is going to run close, and projections would suggest that November will not have sufficient park expenditures to avoid rebating park impact fees unless the Common Council takes other forms of action. Is there some other element of that report, Alderman, that you'd like information on?
What items for the park impact fees are you anticipating us making a decision on that affects that?
The primary decision before the Common Council that would provide for additional park impact fees to transfer would be the acceptance of land to be donated to the city, which would then be dedicated as park facilities as under your prior action. And when that would should that occur, then substantial additional park impact fees would be earned and transferred over. And we would likely have sufficient park impact fees used to get to a point in the end of Q1 of 2016.
So there aren't any necessarily, for instance, the gazebo bathrooms over there. That's not necessarily a project that has to be approved in order for everything to happen. It's just really the land.
Well, okay, to be clear, currently approved park expenditures will not earn out park impact fees under the holding period by the state statute. You have a number of potential park projects that you are considering. One is the one you mentioned, which is a bathroom over in Market Square. That, I believe, is a $100,000 project in that ballpark, which would qualify for 36% of impact fees. We are looking at upwards of $600,000 of impact fees expiring between now and the, I'm sorry, $300,000 of impact fees expiring between now and Q1 of next year. And so the major project that would be before you would be the acceptance of land from MMSD that would then be dedicated as park land, and that would qualify for additional park impact fees. But if you don't take those actions, then we would begin to exhaust the holding period for park impact fees.
All right, thanks.
Other questions?
Motion to place on file.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to H1, licenses. Alderman Dandridge.
Licensing committee would like to make the following recommendations. Operator New, Katie Davis, approved. Corey Seekins, approved. Class B combination reserve license for Mount Coont LLC, the Indian Buffet, is approved. The Class B combination reserve license license application for grant for the Indian Buffet is approved at $9,500 grant. Operator New, Michael Beck, all the way down to Courtney Murray, approved. Operator New, Troy Petrowski, hold for appearance. Second page, Operator New, Margaret Piper, hold for appearance. Operator New, Antonio Tarantino, approved. Vanessa Whittier, approved, subject to completion of application. And change of agent for Pick and Save, Gordon Graff, approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Alderman Taylor.
Can I get a brief explanation of the grant?
The Indian Buffet has changed hands in the last couple of years since coming to Franklin. And it's a hardship grant due to the amount of finances that they have to put into that restaurant to get it back up into shape and for these new owners to hopefully make a headway to being a main staple into the community. So we've approved a grant historically for this site for the past couple of years. And so this is a new owner, and they're asking for that. They're requesting that of us.
So we've approved it prior, but that hasn't been enough?
We've approved it prior for previous owners. It has changed hands. The first owners that came to us, obviously, they had a dissension with the partnership. The next group that came to us in June or July of this year, we approved a grant, and I'm not quite sure even if they paid their fee, because I think they decided the new owners just backed out of it. And so I'm not quite sure if anything happened. So this would be technically the second year, if that is correct, Sandra.
Madam Clerk.
This is a reserve license, so it's over and above our quota. This is not the second, I don't know what you mean by the second year. This is about the third owner that's applied. Every time there is a change in ownership of a corporation, individual, or partnership, not a change in the business name, and not a change in members of the organization. But if there's a change in the actual person, place, or person, partnership, or corporation, they have to apply for a new grant if they wish. They're subject to the $10,000 reserve fee over and above the regular annual liquor license fee. So the $10,000 fee is a one-time initial application for any new corporation. And this particular place, the first Indian buffet organization was there about 3 years. And then last year, somebody new applied. The prior owner never surrendered their license, and the new applicant backed out anyway. So,
do we give a grant to this place, the first one?
Yes.
We did?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not to the place. Let me back up.
So they want to the...
It is to the corporation who applies.
I don't think I voted for it.
So...
I'm guessing. I think one I ever voted for was for that hotel. I thought there had to be. I thought something in the grant had to be for economic development, and I mean there was a whole bunch of stuff. And frankly, without seeing that ordinance, I'm uncomfortable voting yay or nay on this item myself. I have to walk out this door anyway, so whatever you guys want to do is fine. But I would abstain. I personally would abstain if I would be here for this vote. I don't know where that information is.
Is there a motion to divide the question and remove item?
I'd refer to the next licensing committee, but it could be a timing thing.
Remove item, the reserve license at grant. Is there a motion to separate the item?
Yeah.
Just take that item out.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of that motion.
Yeah, there is a timing. I mean, these...
Vote aye on the motion. Let's Alderman Taylor vote no on it.
Isn't there
But yeah. You can divide the question.
That comes out. Sure.
Motion to divide the question. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Well, I didn't want to divide the question. I said no.
Okay, sorry. The vote is five ayes, one no, no abstentions, no absence. Okay, on the motion to approve the licenses, except for Alderman Will.
Well, I want to make it clear that this has been a tough spot for business, and they have to put a lot of money into it. It was originally an Oriental, the guy
Chinese,
right? And the guy that was in there said previous owner didn't want to spend the money on the decor, and he needs to do that. He's had a lot of feedback from people, so he feels like he's going to have to put money in. There's a lot of competition. It's a small business owner trying to get a start. And they're appealing to us to try to keep an Indian store in there. So that's
well, all of that's good. You're going to get your motion.
Right.
So on the original motion for all the licenses except the reserve, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. On the reserve license application for grant for Mount Kunt LLC.
And the one thing is because there's a timing issue, I'm going to just abstain because I don't have the actual policy in front of me that I can read thoroughly and ask questions of staff, which I'm not going to have time to do, so you can look at it all you want. I'm just going to abstain and not necessarily object to what the committee's doing, just that I don't have the information in front of me. I wasn't at licensing for that whole conversation, and I remember my policy and the positions in the past is the only one of these I voted for was a hotel. So I'm just going to abstain and be happy.
All those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
The motion carries. Five ayes, no noes, one abstention, no absence. Okay. So there we go. It was painful, but it wasn't that hard.
Right, yeah, I wasn't trying to,
Okay, move on to I-1, vouchers. Is there a motion approving the net general checking account city vouchers in ranges of 157968 through 158191 in the amount of $2,783,431.29 dated September 11th, 2015 through October 1st?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk. Yes, and Alderman Taylor has left his seat. It is 8:40. Okay, Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Are you out of practice?
No. Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Andrew.
Aye.
The motion carries with 5 ayes, no noes, no abstentions, 1 absent. Motion carries. Is there a motion approving net payroll dated September 18, 2015, the amount of $357,369.69 and payments of various payroll deductions in the amount of $368,209 plus any city matching payments?
So moved. Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman
Dandry.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion carries. The vote is 5 ayes, no noes, no abstentions, 1 absent. Is there a motion approving a net payroll dated October 2nd in the amount of $345,987.76 and payments of various payroll deductions in the amount of $195,162.22 plus city matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Motion carries. The vote is 5 ayes, no noes, no abstentions, 1 absent. Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated October 16, 2015, estimated $350,000, and payments of the various payroll deductions estimated $221,000, plus any city matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Don't be bashful. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion is approved. 5 ayes, no noes, no abstentions, 1 absent. Is there a motion approving the property tax settlement in the amount of $101.90 dated September 11th through October 1st?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman
Dandry. Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion is approved. 5 ayes, no noes, no abstentions, 1 absent. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.